This is a Spooky Scotty production. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Alright everybody, it is Monday night, and you know what that means. You're listening to your favorite Monday night show. You're listening to The Buzz on ZTalkRadio.com. You've got Kevin.
And Molly.
And we are here with you tonight. We are going to try something again. We're going to have our guest Rob Guttrow join us, kind of like a redo. Last time he was on with us, we really didn't get to do much because we were having some terrible issues with our website. Those issues have been fixed, according to the site company, and we are broadcasting loud and strong at 14 megabytes per second, so we're rocking and rolling, Molly.
So far, so good.
Yeah, I think we have done just about everything we possibly can. You said you just got your computer back today from the repair company.
And I've got to reload a whole bunch of stuff. And so I'm trying to get into the chat room now, and it's I may or may not get in there with my name. So if you see somebody odd in there, it's probably me.
Somebody odd. This is a paranormal show. We're all a little odd.
Yeah, well, that's why we're here.
But we have got some really, really, really good stuff happening. We have picked up an investigation for next Thursday, not this coming Thursday, but Thursday the 25th. We're going to be doing a preliminary. And if I remember right, Molly, I believe seeing that Keith Ramsey is having a function again up at the old Fayetteville Hospital.
Okay, since I have been offline, I have not seen that. But that was very cool to do that. And if anybody's interested, I suggest that they take part in that.
Yes, I will post it on, well, it's already on my Facebook, and I will share it with all of my friends. That is coming up in June, so you've got plenty of time to plan, plenty of time to schedule. And something that kind of touched me is the fact that all the benefits, all the proceeds that are brought in from that investigation are actually going to the VFW right there in Fayetteville to help the veterans. So that's a really, really cool thing to do. Keith Ramsey is a good friend of Molly's, and we've been in touch with him, and he is actually going to join us on one of our future shows. So that'd be really, really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be well worth it.
If people don't know who Keith Ramsey is, he's part of the Bama Boys of Deep South Paranormal.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He's got a lot of things going on, so he's going to be doing great. I really enjoyed investigating with him. He was very level-headed, very honest, and I tell you something, and Molly will agree with me, when he's around, things tend to happen. So that was
I think they like his singing.
They must, yes, because he does music, and he's very good at it too. In fact, what was it? He sang Amazing Grace right there in the hospital, and if I remember right, we did get a response.
He did. Yep, and that was really cool.
Yes, it was. That was, man, that was such a good investigation.
It was. It would have even been better had it not been raining, though.
What? It was. I think it was raining more inside than outside.
I believe it was.
You could not tell if somebody was touching you or it was just the water. So
it was probably a little of both, I'm sure.
Yeah, so if...
It was fun to go back up there on a dry day and see what kind of things we could get, because, you know, that even kind of messed up the EVPs and everything because of the dripping water and sloshing around.
Yeah.
It was a very good investigation.
I wished I had had galoshes. So, it was pretty wet and sloshy.
Yeah.
But speaking of old,
back to what you were talking about, the investigation that we've got coming up.
Oh, well, I don't want to share too many details yet. I just kind of want the listeners knowing that we're still functional. We're still out there doing things. But it's a pretty high profile case. After we actually do the preliminary, while I'll talk to the a homeowner and see if we can't share some of the details.
Okay.
It is actually still an active investigation on the criminal side.
Yeah. Okay.
So it promises to be pretty intense.
It sounds like it. I'm anxious to do that one.
So yeah, me too. Me too. The homeowner is very level-headed. Not easily fooled, not easily affected by things, but this has the owner, you know, kind of freaked out. So I was like, wow, you know, let's take this one, you know, let's take it very, very serious.
Oh yeah.
But well, speaking of spirits, we were talking the last time we were on the air with Rob, we never got to ask the questions, do animals go to heaven? Do they have spirits? So hopefully we'll get the chance tonight. So far, we're still on the air. No tech issues. The chat room seems to be moving along pretty good.
Yeah.
But we've got Rob Guttrow with us tonight. He's an author, paranormal investigator, and a medium. And now, he doesn't really consider himself so much as a medium as a medium rare. I still like that. It still tickles me. I don't know why. But he considers himself an average guy who just happens to be able to communicate with those who've passed. And he passes on these messages to owners whenever he gets them. Now, he's also a member of the Inspired Ghost Tracking Team from Hanover, Maryland. That's where it's from. Maryland.
Oh, Maryland. So he's in all the snow and ice and cold and...
Yeah. Ooh, boy, yeah. He's snowed in. But he's also, by trade, he's a meteorologist. So, wow.
Wow.
So he tries to explain ghosts and spirits more with science or meteorology. That's unique. That's unique. We'll have to talk to him about that. He's written several books, such as Pets in the Afterlife, Lessons Learned from Talking to the Dead, Ghosts and Spirits, Insights from a Medium.
Now, if he knows anything about communicating with our pets that are still living, or is it all the ones that have passed over?
You know, I would have to say, if I was to answer for him, and which I probably shouldn't, but here I go, it's probably one and the same.
Okay.
Because in order to understand what pets are trying to tell you in the afterlife, you have to kind of understand what they're doing in real life.
That's true.
Yeah, if I was to kind of apply it to how I work, I can read a person, and I can read a spirit, because a spirit is simply a person outside of a body.
Right.
It's just a little more clear in spirit because you don't have the physical getting in your way. And I think, you know, from having talked to Rob very briefly, I think he would agree. Because he's able to communicate with all spirits, but he seems to have, he seems to attract animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, much like on our investigations, you tend to attract children because they love your sweetness and your sincerity. Well, I'm being serious. I'm being genuine.
Well, thank you.
You know, you just have a real sweet spirit, whereas they tell me I'm mean. So.
Well, yeah, they have told you that before, haven't they?
They have. So, but yeah, we'll have to ask Rob tonight.
Yeah, so. I've got a couple questions for him.
Yeah, so I'm a little excited.
And hopefully we'll have some callers call in. I'll give you that number and you write it down now because there may be an influx of calls. But that number is 262-672-2488.
Molly, high five.
Hey.
High five. You did
you
great.
Did it. I finally learned my own number, too.
You know, I can't even tell you what. I had a house phone for 3 years. Never knew what the number was.
Really?
Never knew what the. Nope, never knew it. Kathy programmed it in my phone as house. So. That's the only reason I knew what my phone number was. So.
I guess I'm not going to be able to get in chat room tonight. It's not going to let me.
Oh, no,
in.
Molly.
Since I had my computer cleaned, then I'm going to have to tweak it a little bit more here. And I don't remember what my password or whatever was for that. So I'm going to have to pick up something new.
Oh, well, no problem. Well, guys, please be patient with me because it's kind of difficult to actually speak to the guest and run the board and do the chat room at the same time. But I'm always here. I'm always monitoring, always looking. I see you when you're sleeping, and I know when you're awake. I know when you've been bad or good.
Off-season.
So, but yeah, please, you know, feel free to discuss amongst yourselves in the chat room. So, I tell you what, Molly, since we're on such a good roll, why don't we go ahead and go to our first news break a little bit early, and when we come back, we will definitely be joined by Rob Guttrow.
Okie
dokie. All right, everybody, well, just stick with us. Yes, Rob has arrived. Hi. There's Rob Guttrow in the chat room now as we speak.
Yay.
So, we're halfway there, guys. So just stick with us. We'll be right back.
News Radio, I'm Jane Metzler. President Obama now in Southern California hosting an historic summit.
President Obama thanked the many Southeast Asian leaders for their hospitality over the years and said he hoped he could do the same in the first ever ASEAN meeting on U.S. soil, that he recognized the economic and security benefits long ago.
Early in my presidency, I decided that the United States, as a Pacific nation, would rebalance our foreign policy and play a larger and long-term role in the Asia Pacific.
But protesters from countries like Thailand also came here infuriated by the human rights records of some leaders.
2014, the military hula coup and destroyed elected government and now no democracy.
He says President Obama should pull back from a relationship with Thailand.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal in Rancho Mirage. Ahead of Saturday's South Carolina Republican primary, former President George W. Bush campaigned today for his brother Jeb. He noted how nasty this year's campaign has been.
There seems to be a lot of name calling going on, but I want to remind you what our good dad told me one time. Labels are for soup cans.
Donald Trump has a double-digit lead in South Carolina polls. As wife Hillary campaigned in Nevada ahead of Saturday's Democratic caucuses there, her husband, the former president, was heckled by a Donald Trump supporter at a rally in Florida.
You like this money? You took his money?
I certainly did. And I certainly did. And I took his money from my foundation where I use it to better than he's using it now, I guarantee you.
Trump taking on Ted Cruz, calling him a liar and threatening to sue him, saying he legally can't be president because he was born in Canada. Cruz focused on a replacement for late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, saying the next president should make the nomination. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pope Francis sang Mass today in Chiapas, Mexico. Thousands from indigenous communities there lined up overnight to get into the Mass, which the Pope celebrated in three indigenous languages.
He is there to show his support for and celebrate this often ostracized segment of Mexico's population. The Pope is midway through his Mexico trip. So far, he has addressed the issue of income inequality and has lashed out at narco traffickers as, quote, dealers of death. The grand finale of his tour will be a visit to the border city of Juarez.
Fox's Amy Kellogg. Airlines are reporting huge profits. Some allege it's because passengers are being overcharged.
Airlines worldwide expect to earn $36 billion in profit this year, almost $20 billion in North America alone. But the United Federation of Travel Agents Association says the airlines are making those profits by continuing to charge passengers fuel surcharges, even though the price of jet fuel has fallen 50% year over year. The UFTAA says, and this is a quote, the airlines continue shamelessly to misuse this ticketing loophole and thus manipulate the transparency of the ticket price.
Adam Shapiro with the Fox Business Network, the organization representing airlines, say they should not be cutting fares just because oil prices are down. Music's biggest stars now gathered inside L.A. Staples Center, where the Grammy Awards are being handed out. Kendrick Lamar and Alabama Shakes, already winners a couple times over, before the awards show got underway at 8 p.m. Eastern. There will be tributes to the late David Bowie, B.B. King, and Glenn Frey of the Eagles. And Earth, Wind, and Fire founder Maurice White will be remembered when that group receives a Lifetime Achievement Award. I'm Jay Metzler, Fox News Radio.
You are listening to The Buzz on the ZTalk Radio Network. Imagine the possibilities. Now back to the show with Kevin Thompson and Molly Spence. The best in alternative talk radio.
right, everybody, we are back. You're back with The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. And joining us, as promised, tech issue free so far, we've got Rob Guttrow with us. Rob, welcome back again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Of course we were going to have you. We didn't even give you a fair shot the last time. We kind of owed this to you. So for our listeners that are just kind of catching up with what's going on, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what got you here. What got you to this point?
Okay, well, I pretty much consider myself an average guy, and since I was a teenager, I realized I had the ability to get messages from people who passed, and as time progressed, that ability got more frequent and more intense, especially when I fell in love. And then I had a puppy that passed, and he became the world's best canine communicator. So that opened the door for me to communicate with animals. So I joined a paranormal investigation group. I do a lot of private investigations with them, and house clearings and so forth. And I've written four books now. The fourth one just came out yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And I wrote them to actually teach people what happens after we die and how people and pets on the other side communicate with us. So there you go.
Wow, you just said a lot that we could talk about. Now, you discovered these abilities in your childhood.
I was a teenager.
Okay, a teenager. Man, that had to be tough.
It was frightening. It happened when I was actually about 13 years old, and my grandfather appeared to me 6 months after his death, and in full body, in full color, and I was alone in the house, and I was scared, so I ran out, mm-hmm. Grabbed the dog in the house, and ran outside away from my mom. But when I told her, when she came home with my dad, she wasn't surprised, which shook me, because that I knew something was going on, and mm-hmm. It turns out she had the ability, but she was afraid to use it. So.
Wow. It sounds very, very, very familiar to me. So, what did your grandfather pass a message before you ran, or how did he appear to you? I mean,
He didn't give me any messages. I actually didn't give him time to give me a message, to be honest.
Poor guy.
After he came together, I saw him standing there, and it was not until after I got older that I realized that he actually materialized around the time of his birthday. And interestingly enough, what I've come to find out over time is, of course, spirits appear and make or give messages during birthdays, anniversaries, and holidays. The same kinds of events that we would contact loved ones here in the physical world.
Wow, that's true. Wow. Thanks, Rob. I mean, I'm seriously bumping up right now thinking about that. You are absolutely right. That's, yeah, like everybody, you know, is thinking of each other. Like if it was his birthday, you'd be thinking of him, wow, that was his birthday. And you'd almost be calling out to him.
And I do have to tell you guys that your show is actually a big sign from my dog.
Yeah, share that.
His name was Buzz, wasn't it?
My dog's name was Buzz. And this is 1 week before the anniversary of his passing in 2005.
Wow.
And spirits always have a way to send us signs, to manipulate things, to make things happen. So I was thinking that Buzz was playing with your electronics the last time we were trying to get on, so he could give me a sign during the week of his passing.
That's really kind of cool. I don't mind at all.
Yeah.
I don't, because it really wasn't time. He's like, well, let me reschedule you, Rob, for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And well, you hear
Close you, to the date here.
Yeah. You hear my weenie dog in the background barking in the other room in agreement. So were you particularly close to Buzz? I mean, has he communicated in other ways to you before?
Oh, my gosh. Buzz is the world's best canine communicator. He may have passed 11 years ago, but he still gives me messages. And when I need to hear them, or during birthdays, anniversaries, or holidays, this would be, like, even the anniversary of a passing is considered an anniversary. So mm-hmm. that's why this is so important. Actually, just last year, in July, his birthday is July 29th, 2004. Last July 29th, we have a picture of him hanging on our stairway. And I go up and down the stairs a lot. And that day, I wasn't even thinking about it. I came down from taking a shower, and only that picture was tipped. Only the picture of him. And it turned out it was tipped the week of his birthday.
Oh, that's really cool. Just letting you know he's still around.
Yeah, so pets have a lot of ways that they can communicate with us from the other side. And you just heard two of them.
Yes. Now, when we spoke on the phone, you said something really cool, and it's something that most people probably don't realize. Tell the listeners what the thought process of a pet or an animal, what their intelligence level is.
Okay, well, I've done a lot of reading and research about this, and Dr. Stanley Corin is a doctor of veterinary medicine who's written a number of books after studying dogs and cats very carefully. So he's come to conclude that based on the learning ability and the different levels of learning, that pets have the ability, the intelligence of a 3 to 5 year old human child. When you think about it, they know words. We teach them how to go to the bathroom, just like we do human children. We are happy when they play well with others and share their toys. We play with them, we exercise with them, we take them to the doctor. So we do all of the same things that we do with human children. We even dress them up. I like to tell people that the only difference is that, unlike human children, they don't grow up, marry someone you hate, and move away. My favorite line.
Yeah, you're right. We do dress them up. Now.
And they probably hate that, too, don't they?
Well, I got to ask, if you know Rob, do they like that?
Oh, our kids don't mind it. I've been doing that since they were little, so.
I don't know. We used to have a cat when my youngest daughter was little, and she used to dress it up and put, like, little football jerseys, you know, from dolls and stuff on it. And it would stand there, and then it would just fall over and give her a dirty look. So I didn't think he appreciated that much.
Well, they don't mind the raincoats because they all hate the rain. And with having dachshunds, as you do, I put little T-shirts on them, like infant T-shirts, and I cut them appropriately. Little onesies, exactly. And when they come in from, you know, the mud or whatever, all I do is peel the T-shirt off that's covered with mud, and they're clean.
Oh, so it's a life hack.
Yeah, it works well.
Wow, I didn't think about that. There is a practical use to the humiliating ugly sweaters we put on our dogs.
I guess you put a little baggie over them and twist tie them.
like a little homeless person.
Oh my gosh.
So given their intelligence and their emotional development level, what do pets normally have to say from the afterlife?
Well, that's a good question. What they're trying to do is they're trying to convey that they are still present when needed. And they're not present all the time. That would be an earthbound ghost. A spirit is one that's joined the energies of the universe or heaven or Valhalla, whatever you want to call it. And they come back from time to time when we need to hear from them or when they have a message for us. So they primarily want to let us know that they are fine on the other side and they're safe and they're out of pain and that they really they're always bonded by love to the person that took care of them.
Well, that's really that's cool. Now, I'm sorry, Molly, go ahead.
That's okay. So I was going to say, you know, so there really is a heaven their souls go to.
Yes. One of the biggest questions I get asked often, and which actually makes me totally crazy, is that do pets go to heaven? Well, mm-hmm. And my answer is, of course they do. They're living, breathing things with intelligence. That old belief came from a couple of different religions in our world. Some religions, the very conservative ones, believe that animals have no soul, which is totally wrong. Other religions, especially Eastern religions, believe that animals do reincarnate. They go to heaven and they reincarnate. So I wrote these two books. I wrote Pets in the Afterlife and Lessons Learned from Talking to the Dead to give people proof that people and pets are on the other side and giving us messages. And so every, just so you know, every living thing has a soul. Every living thing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'd be zombies.
True. Zombie dogs.
And when you think about it, you know, animals have been alive on this earth way before mankind ever appeared. So it takes intelligence to survive. For anyone to think that a mindless zombie can walk around and learn how to survive and find food and shelter is just crazy.
Well, that brings up a point, and I'm sorry if I'm chasing rabbits here. Get it? But do different types of animals have different messages from the afterlife? For example, I've got two cats that I absolutely adore, but I also, you know, love my wife's dogs. Probably my cats a little more so. I mean, being quite honest. So if they all passed, would they have different reactions to me?
Well, it all depends on their individual personalities. Every pet has, as you know, being a cat, a dog dad, every animal has its own personality. We have three dogs, and each one of them has a distinct personality. So it's all the messages are based on the personality of the animal or based on the personality of the person. So for example, if you had an uncle that was just grumpy all the time, he's still going to be grumpy on the other side.
Yeah.
And he'll let you know it.
We don't change much in death as
same way with human spirit, you know, we stay the same, so an animal, I would suppose, would do the same.
That's right, Molly. We mm-hmm. we maintain our memories and our personalities on the other side. The only thing that we gain on the other side is a total awareness of what life is all about, and that it's all forgiveness on the other side, and we're bound by love for eternity.
Mm-hmm. Now, you had mentioned about pets reincarnating. Now, do you think that they come back, like, I have a cat now that reminds me of a cat that we had a couple years ago that passed, but mm-hmm. it does same thing as that cat, but also of two or three other cats that we've had in the past that had very unique traits, and this cat seems to have a combination of all those.
And I have a perfect answer to your question. Actually, I get asked that question a lot. And the answer is our pets do not come back during the time that we're alive. Every contemporary has to pass before anyone comes back. That includes humans and pets.
Mm-hmm.
What I've found, though, and this was a message from the second dog that ever came through to me, which was a Chihuahua. He told me that he passed and he came back, and he was guiding a black lab, and he was teaching this black lab all of his habits. He was showing him the ropes. He was showing him how to behave as a better dog. So, then the Chihuahua pointed out a woman in an audience to me that he belonged to. As it turned out, he gave me his name. His name was Chico. Oddly enough. And I told the woman about him, and she said, "That's my grandmother's dog." And I said, "Do you have a black lab?" And she said, "Oh, yeah, I have a black lab. How did you know that?" I said, "Because Chico told me."
Wow.
So what happens in spirit is that our pets will come back and they'll teach our new pets their habits in this life. So you'll see your new pets picking up habits from pets that have passed.
Okay, because this one is kind of rolled into like five other cats that we've had in succession, and each one of them has had a very unique personality, mm-hmm. A certain trait about them that was quite unique. And this one just, has all of them.
So that means you have a full house of living cats and spirit cats.
Well, I do have a spirit cat here also that it had passed away at another home, but when we built this house, it moved here. Several people had said something about, "Oh, you have a cat." And I'd say yes, and then I'd say, "What color was it?" And they would tell me it was orange, so I knew it was the other cat that had passed. And I have felt it get up on the bed with me at night and curl up behind my knees and stuff, so I know it's him. But and that doesn't happen all the time. Of course, I've got a current cat now that takes up most of the space now. But thank you for answering that.
Sure. It's a common question, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people can share telepathic connections to their living animals, and does that extend into the afterlife?
Yes. Yeah, we're all connected, and they can actually pick up signs or hear voices in their head. Is that what you're asking?
Well, because one of our listeners has mentioned in the chat room that she speaks telepathically with her dog. And I was just wondering, does that same extension, that line of connection, is that shared in the afterlife as well? Like if I speak telepathically with my cat, Tiger, and, we get along great in life, am I still going to have that very same ability in the afterlife?
You will. We are all bound together by the energy of love that we share with each other. So telepathy is a general way that spirits communicate.
So it's a telepath. Explain that a little bit. Go into depth.
Okay. In terms of being a medium, I get a lot of messages telepathically. So I can hear words. We teach our dogs and cats words, and they can convey those very same words back to us. They also telepathically show me their favorite places. They'll show me their favorite toy. They'll show me their favorite ball. They'll tell me the names of people are that they have been around. They'll show me what an area looks like that they've been to or that they live in, and I can actually describe that area. And I've done that, and it kind of freaks me out because it turns out that a lot of times these descriptions are really accurate. But it's like looking through a pet's eyes and seeing exactly what they see. So those are the kinds of things that I get telepathically.
Mm. So, have you ever? I mean, you? Wow. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to wrap my head around that, for just a moment. And also for the listeners, if you'd like to weigh in on a conversation, you can call in at any time at 262-672-2488. Now that I'm done stalling and I think I've wrapped my head around it, so have you ever had animals share visions or messages of their own deaths, like I was struck by a car or I was killed, you know, through sickness? And have you ever been able to locate a dead pet after their death?
I've not been able to locate a dead pet because I haven't been called to do that. But I have, yes, I do get messages of how they passed. And that's really one of the ways that they prove who they are to the pet parent that I'm addressing. I can tell you that some pets told me that they died from urinary tract infections. Others have died from heart failure. Some have died from eating toxic plants. There's a number of different ways. Others have been hit by a car. So they do convey all of those ways. And it works the same way with human spirits, too, because human spirits have made me feel a heart attack. I felt cancer. I felt hit, punched, kicked, shot, stabbed, pushed downstairs. So that's one way that spirits will actually convey who they are by the way that they died. So pets do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, you never think about it. And I know we've concentrated a lot on pets. And after our next break, I'd like to kind of broaden the conversation. And maybe you could share some stories with us about some of the human spirits that you've encountered.
Sure.
But on our social media, though, we've had such a large response, you know, during our show promotion with you that people have had questions about mostly pets. And, you know, maybe that was the way that I described you. We had a caller. I'm sorry.
I will tell you that the American Psychological Association has done studies, and people grieve more for pets than most of the humans that they know that have passed. So it's no surprise to me.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, I think because we are solely responsible for their entire lives. Whereas with humans, you know, we know that they're going to grow up and they're going to move out and go on their own, and we know that our parents are going to pass before us, but we are never prepared to see someone that we're solely responsible for pass before we do. And that's what happens with pets. And that it's much more emotionally traumatic.
Okay.
But do you not think that since their lifespan's so short, too, we know that time is so precious with them?
I think we do know that. But, you know, as humans, we're always in denial that, you know, we think that they're going to just live up to the moment we die and then go at the same time.
Well, that would be nice, but, you know, we all know that's not true.
Right.
Well, we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller. Welcome to the Buzz.
Hi. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. You're on with Rob Guttrow. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. Rob, I actually have a couple questions. The main one is I have a cat now who is probably either 17 or 18. She was a stray when I got her. And at the time, the vet thought she was maybe one or two. So I've had her all this time, so she's either 17 or 18. And she meows constantly. Like, I'll be sitting on the couch, and she'll just start. It's almost like a yelling. And she'll just walk down the hall and just meow, like around 8:30. Then to at 9:30, and then in the middle of the night, and then in the morning. And I just don't know what she's meowing for.
You said that she's 17 years old?
She's either 17 or 18. Well, no, she's either 18 or 19. And she's in good health, I think. I feed her all raw cat food, and she only gets structured water, no table scraps. And she's actually, the vet says she can't believe all the... her tests come back better than they should and all this, so.
Okay. She could she could be, you know, I don't communicate with live pets, but being someone that's worked with rescues for a long time, one thing, once they get to that age, I do know that arthritis is a serious problem, and that can cause pain, even during during sleep, if they roll over the wrong way, just like the people. You might want to ask your vet about glucosamine or some kind of arthritis supplements.
That is so funny you mentioned this, because she does have arthritis. And I am giving her a pill that's glucosamine chondroitin that the vet has given me. Maybe it's not sufficient enough. I don't know. Maybe she is crying in pain.
You know, very well maybe, because I have arthritis myself, and I know that it can be quite painful, especially in the wintertime or when there's a low pressure system. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw some meteorology at you, because it all affects us. We tend to feel more aches and pains when there's a low pressure system, when there's a storm system. And so see if you can notice that. And that may be a key to understanding that it may be, in fact, be arthritis. Okay. And the reason we feel pain when a storm system comes is that that's low pressure. Inside our bodies are high pressure. And the physics are, high pressure naturally flows to low pressure. So all the pressure in our bodies tries to escape, and we feel the most pain or force on our joints. So that's why we feel pain in the joints during storms.
Okay. Do you think she, I don't know if you can tell, but, do you think she's happy? Does she want to be alive? She seems good otherwise, but...
I'm sure she's really happy. She's just probably conveying to you that she's still in pain with the arthritis, and it's from time to time. It's not a constant thing, but it's like us. It's part of getting old. We're always going to wake up and say, "Oh, why does this hurt today?"
Yeah, I know. I have it too in my knees, so. Can I ask you something? Well, I kind of want to share a story. About 10 years ago, I actually had 3 cats, and I have one of them left, the one I was talking to you about. But I had 2 other cats, which were the offspring of this cat that I have. Mm-hmm. And the one was sick with a urinary tract infection all the time. And she wasn't able to be pilled by me. I could not give her a pill. I couldn't give her medicine, because she would just go crazy and claw me to death, and I'd take her to the vet and they couldn't even do it. And one day I took her, and the vet called and said, we can't dose your cat. She was the runt, and I actually forced her to nurse, because I knew my cat didn't want her, and I just made sure she got milk and forced it. But I ended up giving the okay to put her down. And I lost 14 pounds over the ordeal, because I can't kill anything, let alone I had to x-ray. I felt like I killed my own cat that I loved. But 2 weeks afterwards, my husband and I were sitting in bed, and it was 9:30. This cat could never meow quite right. She would just like squeak. A noise would come out. We're laying in bed, and at 9:30, I heard her. And I could actually look at where she was sitting. I couldn't see her, but the noise, I knew exactly the spot where she was sitting. And then she woke me up at 3:30 in the morning on the other side of the bed. She was on the floor. I know where she was sitting in my mind, when I heard the noise. And I heard the same, I heard her meow. And I always wondered, why did she, was that really her? Or what was she trying to tell me?
She was probably, what she was likely doing is she was thanking you for letting her pass.
Oh gosh, thank you for saying that, because I was so worried that she was upset with me.
No, what I'm picking up is that she really didn't feel comfortable in the life that she had here, but she knew that it was going to be short. And she was hoping that by rejecting the medicine, you would understand that it was her time.
Oh,
and
wow.
What you did was the most courageous act of love that you could actually do for her, which was enabling her to pass. So she's being grateful on the other side.
Okay. Well, I was hoping for that. And I just have one other question, and I'll let somebody else talk, but I had another cat. Right after I put that one down, I had to give my Bonkers, his name was Bonkers, away because he was spraying all over my house, and my husband just couldn't handle it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I had to give him away. That was probably over 10 years ago, too, at least. I would like to know, finally, I'm going to ask the question that I've not been able to ask any other medium. Did he pass, or is he still alive?
It's actually hard for me to tune in, so I can't give you a definitive yes or no, because your cat is very strong, the young one.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bonkers seems to have developed more of a link to the new pet parents.
To the what?
To the new pet parent.
I hope so, because the girl I gave him to loved cats, but she was getting married and she wasn't sure her husband would like him. And I was a little worried about it.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I can't connect to him.
Okay, and that's fine. Maybe I'm not supposed to know anyway, you know. It's not my time to know. But I loved him dearly, and it was very traumatic the day I had to give him away, because he was such a sweet cat. So, and I did have one other thing. I don't know what the message was, because my mom didn't talk, but in 2014, shortly after my birthday, my mother appeared to me in a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And she just stood there, because she passed in 2010. She just stood there looking at me with her head tilted slightly and this look on her face of sadness or sorriness or compassion, something. And then we hugged. She put her arms out, and I actually felt her as we hugged. But I never really knew what her expression meant and what she was trying to convey to me.
She was likely... That happens a lot. People dream about spirits. Dreaming is actually one of the easiest ways that spirits can convey their messages.
Right.
Especially because our logical mind tries to deny any messages. So pets and people will come into our dreams. Because your mom hugged you in your dream, she's showing you that she's happy and she's at peace where she is. And the look on her face was very likely one of sorry for some of the way she behaved before she passed.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but...
Yeah, it does. I know. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It would make sense.
So there
you
go.
Okay, well, I know we didn't spoke. Thank you so much for taking my questions and giving me those answers. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Oh. What's your name?
My name's Lori. I actually know Molly. Hi,
yeah,
Molly.
I thought that was you. but I thought you wanted not anyone to know who you were, so I wasn't going to blow your cover.
That's okay. I'll go ahead and just spill the beans. But
I'm glad you called in.
Yeah, I feel much better talking to Rob about that.
Excellent.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you, Lori, for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
She brought up some really, really good points, Rob.
She sure did.
Yes. Because, you know, I really appreciated the way you answered one of her questions, because as she was speaking, I was wondering the same thing. if we have to put an animal down, do they understand on the other side that we're doing that to ease their suffering?
Yes, they absolutely do. And oftentimes, that's one of the things I wrote about in my Pets in the Afterlife book, is that the dogs and cats will communicate with us when it's their time. Like people, they also make a conscious choice about how they want to pass. Sometimes people want to pass when there's nobody in the room. Other times, people want everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a pet will go into a corner and just quietly pass. Other times, a pet will let you know that they're in pain. And by doing that, what they're asking is for you to help them get out of pain.
Oh boy!
They also can read your emotions, and so they know the stress that it puts you through when you make the ultimate decision. And think about this: when you come home, your dogs, more specifically dogs, can tell when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're angry, when you're depressed, when you're sick. You know, because they know how to behave, and they modify their behavior based on your behavior. So they totally understand what you're doing when you make the ultimate decision to put them to sleep.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. Then, okay, we have another caller on the line. Hello, caller. Yes. Welcome to the buzz.
Well, thank you very much. I just received a text from Molly to call and ask a question of y'all.
Oh, you were you being shy?
Yeah, I'm pretty shy. Not really.
This is our friend Sandy, Kevin.
Oh, okay, Sandy. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. When my husband was in hospice, and as he got increasingly further into the next realm, he had one lucid moment where he told me to be strong, and then after that he would garble stuff. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know what he was trying to get through to me. He was kind of frantic-y acting, trying to tell my son and I something, and we never could make it out.
Well, very likely, Sandy, when people have that one lucid moment, what they really mm-hmm. want to do is to tell the people goodbye and mm-hmm. that they love them. The two most mm-hmm. important things that they have to say.
Yeah. Well, yeah, probably. I was just hoping for more of a message than that. But, yeah, I'm sure that he would want to tell us that he loved us. He was a great guy.
Yes, he was. I remember him.
Yeah, he was quite the character, and I still get visits from him, and but of course, obviously, it's not the same as him being alive. But still, it's good that he still comes around at times.
Well, Sandy, there is one way that you can find out if he had anything mm-hmm. else to say, and that is mm-hmm. before you go to sleep, ask him to come into your dreams mm-hmm. and ask him if there was another message that he had to convey, and to
okay.
convey that through your dreams.
Awesome. I'm going to try that, man. I've had good results at times with dreams and messages, so maybe that is exactly what I need.
Yes, it seemed to work for our last caller when her mother visited her and they shared, you know, a loving moment.
Awesome. I'm going to work on that tonight then, Kevin, and I'll let y'all know what I hear.
Okay. Awesome, Sandy. Thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, thank you guys. Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Well, Rob, how about this? Let's go to our next news break, and then when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines again. But I'd really like to hear some of your stories about human spirits as well.
Okay.
I mean, you know, you've got an animal medium, a meteorologist, a medium, a medium rare. You're the gift that keeps on giving.
Thank you.
Well, everybody, we're going to go to a news break, and when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines again. Molly, what's the number?
Oh, 262-672-2488.
Yes. Yes, you got it down. All right, everybody, just stick with us, and when we come back, we're going to be joined again by Rob Guttrow.
Supreme Court Showdown.
These confirmations are normally a blood sport. This one is going to be apocalyptic.
Death of Justice Scalia leaves high court split.
Four conservatives and four liberals.
Pope Francis in Mexico.
The Pope urged Mexicans to build a society with equal opportunity for all.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. The weekend death of U.S. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia at 79 stunned the nation and set the stage in Washington for an unexpected election year battle over his replacement. President Obama's indicated he'll make a nomination soon. Republicans say that should be left to his successor. CBS's Nancy Cordes on Capitol Hill.
The Senate's Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, said this vacancy should not be filled until we have a new president. And McConnell controls who gets a vote and when.
Nobody can be surprised by how I feel.
South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham and many others got behind him.
You're not hedging your bets hoping that there's a Republican who comes into office next January who would appoint that new nominee?
Yeah, I'm hoping they will, but I'm saying the next president should make the pick.
Graham sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee, which considers Supreme Court nominees. So does Utah Republican Orrin Hatch.
This president's not going to appoint anybody who isn't pro-abortion, who isn't for all of these very left-wing things that we think have been very dangerous for our country.
Top Democrats called it obstructionism.
Barack Obama is president of the United States until January 20th, 2017. That is a fact, my friends, whether the Republicans like it or not.
At the White House, CBS's Margaret Brennan on what's ahead given the divided political landscape.
History could be on the administration's side here. Since 1900, six Supreme Court justices have been confirmed in presidential election years. That could spur President Obama to make a bold choice of a very liberal judge who'd face a tough confirmation. Or, sources say, the president may choose a less controversial sitting appellate judge in order to win some Republican support. Some names that fit that bill: Chief Judge of the Court of Appeals Merrick Garland, and two past Obama picks for the U.S. Court of Appeals, Jane Kelly and Sri Srinivasan, both of whom have already unanimously passed Senate confirmation.
CBS's Jan Crawford at the Supreme Court says Scalia's death and the fight over a replacement could leave decisions on some key cases deadlocked.
There are some really controversial cases. I mean, there is a case from Texas on tougher regulations for abortion clinics. There's a case on affirmative action, on the use of race and college admissions. And believe it or not, there is another challenge to Obamacare, as well as cases on presidential power, like President Obama's executive orders on immigration, environmental policy. Most of those cases now are unlikely to have a majority decision, so they may not really bring about a sweeping change in the law.
In Texas, the judge who pronounced Scalia dead says there were no signs of foul play. His family has decided against an autopsy. The Supreme Court battle is just part of what's making news in South Carolina for the Republican presidential candidates.
16 years after a South Carolina win guided George W. Bush's path to the presidency, he returns to campaign here, aiming to give his younger brother Jeb a boost. Over the weekend, Donald Trump argued it's a myth that the former president kept the country safe.
The World Trade Center came down.
Trump was booed for that at Saturday's CBS News debate. Some South Carolina voters said they didn't like what they saw.
Politics in general, not being civil.
It's simply a joke.
The CBS News Battleground Tracker poll taken ahead of the debate gave Trump a vast 22-point lead here. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Columbia, South Carolina.
Overseas, word of a deadly strike in Syria with civilian casualties. CBS's Vicky Barker joins us from the foreign desk in London.
The medical aid group Doctors Without Borders says its children's hospital in Idlib province was completely destroyed in two airstrikes minutes apart. At least seven confirmed dead. Eight staffers are missing. Also hit a nearby school harboring refugees. Locals blaming Russian airstrikes. The Russians aren't commenting directly on this latest incident, but they've just said their air campaign in nearby Aleppo province will continue even if a tentative ceasefire is finalized. Steve?
Some trouble today on a Virgin Atlantic flight from London to New York. A medical issue with the pilot after a laser hit right after takeoff. The flight returned to London without incident. Police investigating that. Big storm system set to dump rain, ice, and snow from Arkansas to New England today. There are bitter cold temperatures in the Northeast this morning. On his Mexico trip, Pope Francis goes to Chiapas. He's already apologized for the church's colonial-era crimes against indigenous people there. CBS's Adriana Diaz has more on a busy Sunday for the Pope.
The Holy Father traveled by helicopter to Ecatepec on Sunday. There, he celebrated an outdoor mass before more than 300,000, the largest event on his six-day historic visit. In his homily, the Pope urged Mexicans to build a society with equal opportunity for all. An estimated 2 million people lined his motorcade route, many waving Vatican flags and balloons.
There figured to be plenty of sights and sounds tonight at the Grammy Awards.
She is one of the biggest stars in the music industry. And tonight should be a big night for... Taylor Swift. Many expect her critically praised album 1989 will win Album of the Year. Swift is also up for Record and Song of the Year. Another favorite tonight? The duo of Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson. They are up for Record of the Year for their mega hit Uptown Funk. Among those battling for Best New Artist, Meghan Trainor.
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no trouble.
The highlight of tonight's show on CBS, though, may have nothing to do with the actual awards being presented. There will be two tributes to a pair of music legends who died last month. Take it easy. Current and former members of the Eagles will perform during the Glenn Frey tribute.
Ground control to Major Tom.
The David Bowie salute will feature Lady Gaga. She will utilize what's described as breakthrough technology. Lady Gaga calls it something unimagined. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
President Obama's hosting a summit of leaders from Southeast Asia. Here's CBS's Pam Coulter.
Officials call it a unique and historic event, the first U.S. gathering of leaders from ASEAN countries, including Indonesia, Brunei, and Vietnam. Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes said the president wanted to send a signal that Southeast Asia is a U.S. priority in the future.
We want to get TPP approved. That involves a number of these countries. We want to have a truly global coalition against ISIL, and we'd like to leave the United States in a stronger position in Asia Pacific.
The first day focuses on the regional economy. Security issues dominate day two. Pam Coulter, CBS News, the White House.
The BBC reports Pope John Paul II sent hundreds of letters to a married woman for more than three decades. There's no indication the Pope broke his vow of celibacy, but some of the letters to the Polish-American woman became intimate as their friendship grew. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.
You are listening to The Buzz on the ZTalk Radio Network. Imagine the possibilities. Now back to the show with Kevin Thompson and Molly Spence. The best in alternative talk radio.
All right, everybody, we are back. You're listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. If you're just joining us for the second hour, we are being joined by medium Rob Guttrow. Now, Rob, I've got to ask this question. One of my dear, dear friends has asked me to ask you this. Do black cats have special powers?
And the answer would be no.
Well, there you go. There you go. I know. I heard that pause. You didn't get away with that. That kind of took you by surprise.
I don't want to offend anybody, but no, they really don't have special powers.
Okay. Are you sure?
They're just cats that happen to be black.
Poor things. How did they get such a bad rap, anyways?
Yes. I don't know. You'd have to go back into folklore and history to find that out. I have no idea.
I think it's associated with Halloween and witches and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, the witches always had the black cats and that sort of thing. So,
well, why did they always have them?
Maybe it was an overabundance of black cats and they took them in. I don't know. Goodness of their hearts. I don't know.
Take that, you guys. Take that. So, Rob, you were sharing, I know we've concentrated an awful lot on you communicating with pets in the afterlife, but you've also done a lot of work in spirit investigation. On your team, are you, for lack of better terms, the team medium?
I am one of the mediums. I'm one of three mediums on the team. And there are a lot of the other folks use scientific equipment, of course, like infrared cameras and digital recorders and thermometers and EMF detectors and so forth, to basically prove that there may be an entity in the room when I'm getting a message or the other two mediums are getting messages. And what's also interesting too about our team is that some of the people that use the scientific equipment are also sensitive, and they also have other talents. My friend Rhonda is a historian. She can look anything up from any time and find out what happened when. And everybody comes from different backgrounds. We have educators, and we have nurses, and architects, and you name it, we've got it.
It's good to have a really, really diverse team. I like to think that we have one. I work in law enforcement, and Molly's done just a little bit of everything. We have a private investigator. We've got college students. We've got one phenomenal guy, Randy. Molly, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, this man is phenomenal. If you can dream it, he can build it.
Wow.
And he'll make it look cool, too. So, I mean, he's always got some little gadget. Oh, I want to try this out. What does it do? I'm not sure yet. We'll find out.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really cool the way he works. So, but I would have to agree with you. I mean, I am the medium. Molly is sensitive, and then, you know, we've got Stacy, who's just very observant with a investigator's eye.
Mm-hmm.
But do you believe, though, that we would have to validate our communication through tech?
No, I don't. There are a lot of other ways to validate what you're getting. For instance, one of the investigations that I wrote about in my Lessons Learned book was probably one of the most famous and unnerving investigations that I ever went on. I call it a double murder investigation, where myself and another medium went into a house we knew nothing about, and we wound up talking to two female ghosts who conveyed how they were brutally murdered in the home. And everything that we got, including the location, how it was done, who did it, etc., was in police reports that confirmed everything we got. It was pretty crazy.
Now, I gotta ask this, and I'm not trying to be controversial, but would there be any chance that any of the three of you mediums were front-loaded?
No, that's a good question. what we do, our manager Margaret does not give us any information, not even the address, until about 1 hour before we go.
Good.
So we don't even know where it is. You know, we plug in the address in our phone, and then we figure out where we're going. So, but yeah, that's a great question, because I know a lot of times people will try to find things on the internet, but no, we don't do that. We don't want to know that. And actually, when we get there, we specifically tell the homeowner, we don't even want to know what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. The manager of our team, actually, when she gets a call from a homeowner, she has them fill out a questionnaire. She goes in and she does an extensive interview that finds out all the information about the haunting, and she does not share that with anybody.
Oh, with none of the members?
No.
Okay.
So that's how we used to do it in the beginning. When I started a group, I would take the homeowner or whoever to the side and interview them, and then I would not share that with anyone else.
Maybe we should try that with our group, because we do a preliminary. The owners will contact us, and then we go in and we'll do a preliminary for 2 to 3 hours to see if, you know, what is the impression, get a little feel for the homeowner, get a feel for the environment, and then if we feel it warrants a full-scale investigation, then we bring in the rest of the members. Mm-hmm. But I kind of like that, guys. I kind of like your ideas better.
Well, it's not my idea. It's Margaret's idea.
So, oh, well, you know.
I can't take credit for the boss's
idea. It's a good idea.
The other thing I wanted to point out is that we have learned, and I was just talking to my friend Troy, who's one of the other mediums on staff. I was talking to him tonight. There is no such thing as a textbook case when it comes to paranormal investigating. Every single case is different. We've crossed quite a number of people over, and they're all for different reasons and from different backgrounds. It's just amazing. So there's no textbook case.
You get a full spectrum. You do it long enough, yeah, you're right. There is no average case.
I mean, you'll have cases that sound similar in nature, but they're far different once you start investigating.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, how do you work as a medium? So many mediums describe different ways. Do you get imagery? Do you get words? I mean, do you get physical, like, you know, you see and hear?
It's similar to how I get messages from pets. A lot of things come telepathically. I will be able to see things. I'll hear them. I feel them. We talked about feeling pain of death before. I felt a lot of that when I went on that double murder investigation. Actually, that's where I was hit, punched, pushed down the stairs, and shot.
Shot?
Yeah. I felt being shot in the stomach. And by the way, all of those things were confirmed in a police report that I had no idea even existed. But Rhonda, our historian, and Margaret were able to find that information and confirm it. So I feel pain of death. I get the visual of what the person looks like. And people know what they look like, of course, because you look in a mirror and you know what you look like. So they can describe themselves to me. They can also give me an age range. They can tell me where they died. So there's a lot of information that I get that we have to put together. It's like putting a puzzle piece together. And that's pretty much how it works.
Do they always make sense to you?
No, gosh, no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking that for a very specific reason. Because oftentimes, you know, I will usually use a living person to ground me. You know, I've always got Molly there with me, and she grounds me. Or if I'm working with the Ghost Walk, I've always got Jackie, who grounds me. That way I kind of have an anchor here. But I'll get in communication with the spirit, you know, kind of like get in their head. And there's a lot of times things are just bizarre. They don't make sense. And what do you do with that? Do you still give that to the client, even though it makes absolutely no sense?
We do actually. Usually, I walk around with my friend Rhonda, who is wonderfully on the chat room tonight.
Yes, she is.
Oh, okay.
So Rhonda and I usually go together, and she carries a digital recorder. And Rhonda and I work together in an amazing way, because she'll start asking me questions, and I'll be able to channel the ghost or the spirit. Typically, it's an earthbound ghost that I'm channeling. And she'll get answers, and I have no idea what the heck I'm saying. it turns out we can make sense of these things. We were in the Benson Hammond House near the Baltimore Washington Airport, and Rhonda and I went through a channeling session, and there's a woman a woman came through to me, and she said, "I am the woman in the painting with an oval brooch. When you see that painting, you'll know who I am." And I had no idea what the heck that meant. So Rhonda and I and some of the other team members walked through the house. And on the first floor, when we got to one of the last rooms in the house, there was a giant painting of a woman. And it was a painting with a woman wearing the brooch that I had sketched out in my book. I always bring a book, by the way, and I sketch out things that they tell me or show me.
Good idea.
It was a woman that owned the house at one point in time. So it's kind of chilling. And actually, the other thing I can do, and I've done this successfully quite a few times, is I'm able to actually sketch the face of the ghost that is haunting a house.
Wow.
Man, I have said so many times on both teams, we need a sketch artist. I have such rudimentary art skills. I can draw stick figures.
Yeah, I was going to say, your stick figures leave a lot to be desired.
well, Rob, I mean, since Rhonda's in the chat room, I mean, you know, it's your show tonight, but would you mind if we invited her on for about 10 minutes to share with you?
Oh, my gosh, I would love to have Rhonda on with me.
Well,
I tried to get her to call in, and she said, "Oh, she's just listening."
Oh, well, not anymore. She's been invited, and I'm putting her on Front Street. That number is 262-672-2488. And Rhonda, I'd like you to join for the last 20 minutes of the show, if that's okay. I think that'd be kind of cool. So, what is your favorite spirit that you've communicated with? I know you have one.
Oh gosh, well, it would have to be my dog Buzz.
Oh.
and my dog Sprite. I have two favorites.
Oh.
So, they're my kids.
and they're always with you.
They come from time to time. You know, as we've talked about, this show being certainly a sign from Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the chat room mentioned that the doppelgangers, and I want to bring that up, and I just want to address that really quickly if I could.
Sure.
Because Buzz actually led me to a doppelganger. My husband Tom and I were vacationing in Puerto Rico in 2011, and we didn't know what direction to go in Old San Juan, and I was nudged to go down one street. Long story short, like, we cut to the end of the street, and there was a dog walker. And one of the dogs we were walking was a Weimaraner that looked like Buzz. And I heard Buzz say, "Dad, do you know what today is?" And it was then that I realized it was February 22nd, the anniversary of the day he passed.
Oh, wow. Wow, I don't know if I should be happy or sad.
Well, you know, it made me cry, of course. But now,
yeah.
But pets will lead us to animals that look like them so that we are aware that they are still around us. So doppelgangers are one of the easiest ways for a pet to convey that. Person, too. People, too.
Oh. Well, Rhonda, I believe you're on the line with us.
Yes, I am.
Rhonda, welcome. Welcome
Hi,
to the
Bob.
Buzz. So you work with Rob on the investigation team.
Yes, I do. I love working with Rob. He's wonderful.
So what's it like to work with a medium?
It's really interesting. I like it because he can answer questions. Like, I'll ask a question like, what year were you born? And he can spit back an answer at me. And it's back and forth, until we come up with some answers. He actually went on used to do a ghost walk up in Federal Hill in Baltimore City. And Rob, before we started our ghost walk, we walked around the city together to the path that we were going to take. And Rob actually located a spirit that was not so very nice. And he had a few choice words for me because I was trying to hurry him up because we had an investigation to go to. So we left, and then I came back and started doing more research. And another medium that is a friend of ours filled me in a little bit more. And I went through the archives of the New Baltimore Sun and found the story about what had happened.
Oh,
so
boy.
So that was kind of neat.
You know, and Rob, if you're anything like me, you're usually uncertain until you get that validation. Then it makes you feel like, oh, thank God.
Absolutely, yeah.
Now,
Rhonda, I distinctly remember that gentleman in the alleyway that did not have nice things to say for you.
Yes, his name was Kelly. It turned out his name was Kelly. I forget his last name. He turned out to be okay, though, in the end. Because I spoke with him again before we did the investigation, and I told him, if you're around when I come by your spot, let me know. Pull my hair, tug my shirt, something to let me know you're there. And as I was giving my talk, my hair was tugged.
Molly, sound
really
familiar?
Cool.
Yeah, it sounds like the volunteer fire department. We had quite a case there. This gentleman was quite upset, and was upset with anybody and everybody within, a half a mile of this place. And we investigated, and Kevin dug a little bit deeper into the tax records and so on and so forth, and found out that the guy really had been ripped off of from his land and everything else. And I had a talk with him and told him, this is who you need to be upset with, not the people that are here trying to do their community duties, And I said, they're just here trying to help the community. And I think we got it all settled down, but things have been going smoothly ever since. So,
wow, I think we found each other's doppelgangers, because you guys sound a lot like us.
Yeah.
So now you are a historian.
Yes, if there's going to be something that has to do with like the old buildings and stuff like that, and there's a story that goes along with it, I'll go to the Baltimore Sun and I'll do some research on the old archives to see what I can find, see if I can come up with a story. When Rob was also walking us through Federal Hill, he came upon a man sitting on the curb, a spirit, of course, and we started asking questions, and Rob was channeling him back and forth, and come to find out, I told him, I said, he was there during the riots, and everybody was drinking, and it was just a big melee down across the street. But anyway, the guy was talking about, he was shot and he was sitting there on the curb, and he says, I told him, I says, if you tell Rob your name, I promise I'll find where you're buried and I'll bring you a six pack. And he says, he's not buried anywhere. And I says, what do you mean you're not buried anywhere? He says, I'm not buried anywhere. So I went on the archives and I started looking up stories, and I found the story about him. His friends had tossed him in the river into the inner harbor.
Oh no.
instead of having him buried.
Nice friends.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, they were kind of poor. But that's one of the stories, you know, that Rob helped me complete, and that was kind of neat. That's confirmation.
Yes. Now, I'm sorry, Rob, I stepped on you. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin. There was another investigation that Rhonda and I were working together in a row house in Baltimore that for some reason the rental agency could not rent. People would flee from there after being in there for a day or two. So they called us, and we went in there and investigated, and as we were walking around, I was able to tell Rhonda that one of the people that lived there was actually brutally murdered in an alley in the back and dismembered, and his body parts were buried in the backyard.
Mess.
And it was pretty gruesome. So, and after we got inside, after we went back inside and we were on the second floor, we could both sense him there, and one of the other team members down the hallway took a picture, and there was a shadow of a man standing right between us when Rhonda and I sensed him.
I think it was a little more than a shadow, because you could see his feet, you could see his arms and his hands.
Yes.
He was all dressed in black, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty unnerving.
But that was cool.
Yeah. Wow. And now you kind of glanced over the body parts in the yard. Were they able to locate those?
No, we didn't. We gave the investigation to Margaret, and then it's out of my hands, so I'm not sure what she did with it.
We were actually doing it for another team to see if we could get the same results that they did, but I think we got better results because we got the picture.
Oh, good.
I mean, were any of those like cold cases or anything that they were still working on, or is that just something back in history that...
I think it was, what was it, back in the 60s or 70s, I think, that happened.
So fairly recent.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it would be interesting to go back and look and see if the police actually, you know, may have exhumed body parts out of the yard.
Oh, I think
we don't have any names.
Oh, okay.
It was a row house in the bad section of town, but it was rather interesting, too.
Kind of a Bobby Mackey situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was one of those places where you only investigate in the daytime.
And you hurry to your car, and you...
Right?
It's not because of the dead. It's because of the living, correct?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Correct.
That's what I tell everybody. Don't worry about the dead. They can't hurt you. It's the living I worry about.
Exactly.
Well, good Lord, guys. You guys are the gift that keeps on giving, aren't you?
Rob is the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, man. I am absolutely loving this show. Before we run out of time, though, I would like to give you, both of you, an opportunity to give out your information. I understand that your fourth book just came out yesterday. Where would our listeners be able to locate your works and possibly get in touch with you?
Well, thanks, Kevin. Everybody can find my books on Amazon.com in paperback and ebook. And if they go on Facebook, they can find me. All they have to do is type in Rob Guttrow, G-U-T-R-O. My blog is called Ghosts and Spirits Insights.blogspot.com. It's named after my first book. And what's interesting, the book that came out yesterday is Pets in the Afterlife 2, which gives much more information about how pets communicate, and because there's been such a tremendous response to the first one, that I think that this will also help grieving pet parents understand how pets communicate with us from the other side.
And Rhonda, do you have information about your group, your investigations group?
We're actually on Facebook at Inspired Ghost Tracking.
Inspired?
Mm-hmm.
Inspired, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Ghost Tracking. Not trackers, but ghost tracking.
Okay.
And do you guys take referrals, or do you do residentials, commercials, or?
Margaret takes everything.
Okay.
If she thinks we can do it, she takes it.
Oh, you guys must have a large group. So, because if we
of people that go in, and then we have a larger group, that number in the hundreds, and those people that are like learning the ropes and so forth, Margaret sets up investigations into historic places every month, so that way they can get their feet wet and learn how to use the equipment and find out if what they're getting is true.
Mm, okay. Yeah, we're a relatively small group. We like to keep it small, kind of family-oriented, so, you know, we'll do one or two cases a month. Sometimes it doesn't even go beyond the preliminary if we're able to explain it there on the spot. How do you guys keep track of such a large group?
There's a core group that goes out and does the private investigations. There's about 10 of us, but not everybody can make it all the time. Usually Margaret gives us first come, first serve, right. You know, when she posts it, and she'll say, okay, I got a private coming up, first five people get to go.
Oh.
And then the mediums come in either before or after the group has done their investigation.
Sure, I can understand that.
So it's not everybody, not those 100 people. They don't get to go. We break it up.
Could you imagine? You got a 3-bedroom apartment and you got 50 people jammed in there. But so in the last few minutes, I'm getting a couple of text here from some friends that would like to know. You mentioned, you know, doing meteorology. Do you find that weather affects activity?
Yes, it does, actually. Weather is all about energy in the atmosphere. And being a ghost or spirit is all about energy. The physical energies that reside within our physical body after we die, after our physical body dies, that energy couples with our memories and our personality, and it chooses to be earthbound as a ghost, what I call a ghost, or it crosses over into heaven, Valhalla, as a spirit. And they all use energy, heat, light, water, electricity, or emotional energy, love, faith, and hope for positive energy, for spirit, fear, anxiety, depression, negative energy, negative emotional energy for ghosts. And weather provides a lot of that. So when you have a lightning storm, lightning bolts are actually hotter than the surface of the sun. There's a lot of energy in there. So those old movies that used to show thunderstorms and ghosts in a place really actually knew what they were talking about.
Wow.
Because they add to the ability to a ghost to communicate.
So would you say that maybe lightning ionizes the air and provides energy for them?
It does. It absolutely does, yep. Even the energy within a regular low pressure area. This energy of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that a spirit or a ghost can draw on as energy can be used to convey messages.
Well, yeah, it takes a lot of juice to break a dimension and get a message across. And that's probably why, like you referenced earlier, that they can communicate easier through dreams because you're almost on the same plane.
Yeah.
And Molly, I think you kind of taught me that, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Now, let me shift gears real quick and chase this rabbit. And tell me if I'm crazy. I was taught a theory. People have always wondered why there seems to be more spirit activity at night than there is during the day. And when I asked, you know, our professor in college years and years ago, he stated that there's a theory that it's because of all the radiation from the sun, the solar radiation, kind of makes it difficult for spirits to actually manifest. And during the night, that's on the other side of the planet. So there's not as much interference, so they're able to manifest easier. Would you, in your expert opinion, would you agree with that?
Yes and no. I would say that it really doesn't matter what time of day it is, because we run into ghosts at all times of day.
True.
And sunlight is energy. And although it's a lot of energy, ghosts can still harness that energy. It's like a nonstop battery for them. So wherever they can find energy, they're going to use it to convey messages. I think the reason that a lot of ghosts, more ghosts are detected at night, is that we have infrared cameras. And whereas in the daytime, you really can't use an infrared camera, because an infrared camera picks up heat signatures.
Right.
and cold. And it's much more sensitive when there's no light on, which is why we don't walk in, you know, with a big flashlight or whatever, when we have an infrared camera going on. So I think they can come in anytime. I think that the sun actually will help provide energy for them to communicate and power up, as you will.
Don't you think too that at night you're a little bit more sensitive to your surroundings? I mean, because you don't, it's not bright. You're paying attention to every little thing that you see,
and it's also
or try to see. It gets you more sensitive. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I have people ask me all the time, why do ghost hunters always go out at night to look? And I said, well, they're there all the time, 24/7. I said, you know, it's just quieter. You don't have the interference and whatnot, and the, you know, the traffic and so on and so forth. And I said, it makes it a lot easier to get evidence that way.
Absolutely.
It's not that they choose a time to be there.
They come and go as they please.
And a lot of them are businesses, and, you know, people have to make money during the day. They can close in the evening.
Exactly.
So, touche, Rob. You blew that theory out of the water.
Sorry.
I'm going to have to go back and retract a lot of people I told that. But I did sound educated. I even wore a sweater vest when I said it. So.
Well, hey, you had the look.
They just thought you were impersonating Walter.
Hey, I can't wait till I can act like Walter. So. Well, guys, you have been wonderful, wonderful guests. Rhonda, thank you for joining us at, you know, in the last portion here.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, if I hadn't known you were there.
Well, I got on late. I happened to see it on Rob's on Facebook, and I said, oh, let me listen to Rob. I won't see him until tomorrow, but let me listen to him anyway.
Well, aren't you glad you did?
I egged her on a little bit, but then we put her on the spot, so she, you know, she had to say yes.
well true. True. But thank you guys so much. I'm going to open up. If you had to give anybody any type of comfort, or if you had to say one last thing to sum up your message through your work, what would you say to the listeners?
Well, I would say that spirits are always connected to us. And one of the main messages that I get all the time is they do not want us to feel guilty for not being there when they pass, because it's their decision about how they pass and when they pass, and sometimes they don't want you there. They always forgive from the other side, and if you want to get a message from them, the easiest way is to ask for them to come into your dreams before you go to sleep. And just know that you should never feel guilty about making the ultimate decision for a pet, because they totally understand what you're dealing with. They read your emotions, and they appreciate the love and the strength that you have in order to help them pass with dignity.
Oh, that is That is wonderful.
That is a lot of people's minds.
Yes. Actually, my parents need to... I'm going to make sure that they listen to this show on the archive, because they've had to recently put down two of their pets. And it was a rather tormentous occasion for them. It was agonizing. And
they're
again,
our children.
Exactly right.
Our fur kids.
And I, you know, again, perfect timing. Buzz knew what he was doing, Rob.
Yeah.
This show came at a perfect time.
He did. And I also want to take a second to mention that what's interesting, too, is that Rhonda is on, and it is today that I had pre-planned for her story about coins as signs from spirits to appear on my blog.
Wow, that's right.
See? Perfect.
No
wow.
Synchronicities there.
I mean, yeah, God knows what he's doing, you know? He's got a perfect plan, and we're just players on a grand stage. But again, thank you guys. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Well, thank you, Kevin and Molly. And, you know, we'd be more than happy to come back and talk a little more about people or pets or whatever. You know, my primary reason for writing these books is to give people understanding and comfort about what happens to people who pass and how they remain connected to us forever. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you for being so patient as to come on a second time. And I would definitely love to have you come back again very soon.
Thank you. Be happy to do that.
And Rhonda, you too.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, good night, everybody, and thank you for being with us on The Buzz.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Molly, that was great.
But while I was sitting here, and I should have asked earlier, I don't know, you know, we were talking about all pets have souls and stuff, but, you know, there's a lot of people not only own cats and dogs, but own gerbils and, you know, different other little critters and even goldfish. And I was wondering, you know, do they try to communicate?
Why, you should have asked.
Well, it just came to me. You know, a lot of people think, oh, it's just a goldfish. I'm going to flush it down the toilet and call it a day when they pass. And it's like, well, is that degrading to them?
You know, wow. Because Rob said, I mean, well, let's put it together with what we've learned tonight, that animals do have souls and that they evolve and they reincarnate into, you know, bigger and better things. So I would have to say that, yes, a goldfish has a soul. And maybe, hopefully Rob's still in the chat room, or
well,
he can still hear us.
I just asked if he was on, and...
There he goes.
Okay. Horses, birds, gerbils, etc. do try to communicate. Well, that's what I was wondering. You know, I knew a larger animal may, but I was, you know, particularly, I guess, about goldfish or a fish of some sort. You know, people don't think about them having souls, I guess, or, you know, it's just it's almost like an inanimate object, and I was wondering, you know.
He said the easiest messages to get are those that understand our language. Oh, man, I meant to ask him that, too. If they run into spirits that don't... Isn't that the way it goes? You always think of stuff after the opportunity's over with. So we'll have to have him on definitely again. That was a wonderful, wonderful guest.
We'll start writing our questions now.
Yes, a part three.
Yes.
A part three. But, oh, Molly, I got a surprise for you and the listeners.
Oh.
Next week, for a short time, maybe 10, 15 minutes, you probably heard this, and I'm sure the listeners heard this on the news, because it made, oh my God, national news. And let me just tell you the brief moment of the story.
Okay.
One of my friends is hauling ass down the interstate because his wife was pregnant and she was in labor.
Oh, yeah.
He gets pulled over by that state trooper.
Mm-hmm.
State trooper doesn't believe him at first because he jumps out. He's like, I'm trying to get my wife to the hospital. She's in labor. He's like, yeah, right. I want you to get there alive. You know, you're speeding. And, you know, you go around a car and stand on the curb. And here goes the wife. Starts screaming. Please, I'm in labor. Can you drive me to the hospital then? He's like, well, I'll put you in my car.
Yeah.
Nope. She has the baby right there on the interstate. I'm not going to tell you any more than that because guess what?
What?
He's a good friend of mine. We worked together. I was his trainer.
I told you that he bought my house up in Elkhart.
Yeah, the state trooper bought it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Again, synchronicities. Well, the father and the mother are going to be on our show next week.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they're. You know, I invited him on the show to tell his story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's done Good Morning America and Fox News. The least he could do is us here on The Buzz.
Exactly.
So, yeah, Rob says, write our questions now.
Yep.
We always think of the stuff after it's too late.
I know it.
But that was such a wonderful show. I mean, it flowed. Everything went perfect. And he's a wonderful guest. And we even got a bonus guest.
Yeah, we did.
What?
And thanks to Buzz.
Yes, Buzz put all this together.
Good dog. Good pup. He knew what he was doing.
You know, much like Rocky Krogfoss always says, you know, the spirit guides, they know what they're doing. And they put everything together and we just kind of follow along.
Yeah.
So. Oh.
Oh,
he's just answering other questions. Rob has given an answer to your question. Yes, wild animals do communicate on a different level. But because as humans, we're not usually connected to them, it's much more difficult to understand the message. True.
Yeah, because we don't speak the same language. And I guess that's what the deal with the goldfish and stuff like that, too. If they're not able to understand the communication, well, it would mm-hmm. be harder to understand their needs.
See, that brings up another question. We just should have just kept Rob on. Because
we needed our 3-hour show back again.
We probably should. Once my shifts change and everything's quiet down on your side, maybe we can. But poor Al, he's got the House of Mystery on at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and break the news because Al has done it on his show. Guess what, Molly?
What?
Al has got good news, but since I'm the one here, I'm going to give it.
Okay.
Al's show, The House of Mystery, has also been picked up by KFNX in Phoenix. He is on Saturday mornings, if you'd like to tune in, from 6 to 7 o'clock a.m. on Saturday mornings. So he's more, you know, in the true crime, not so much the paranormal, but he's more in the true crimes. And it was a...
Congratulations to him.
Yes, congratulations, Al. And he will be on at 10 o'clock shortly after us, The House of Mystery by Al Warren and Odin Studios. So that's a big step up. I mean, you know, Z-Talk Radio is doing some wonderful, wonderful things. And
well, we may hit the big time someday.
One day. We're almost there, Molly. We've also... I'm going to announce the news. I was kind of saving it for a surprise, but I didn't get the chance to tell you before the show. We are now on Spreaker.
Oh, Yeah, we were talking about that the other day.
Mm-hmm. And I actually set us up an account. So, listeners, if you can't get into our archives for some reason or our YouTube channel, you can also listen to The Buzz on Spreaker. Now, it will only allow you to load so many shows, so I've put some of our top shows on. And then as those, you know, get enough listens, then I'll have to rotate our shows in and out of Spreaker. So you'll have to stay tuned.
That's cool. And how do they get on that?
You go to Spreaker.com, okay. And then you'll just look up The Buzz, and we should be right there.
All right. So that way no one will miss it.
Right. And this one is definitely going on Spreaker next week.
Definitely.
The show with Rob Guttrow. So everything worked out perfectly. Perfectly.
Exactly. Yep. And we've got a full week ahead of us. At least I do. we have trivia tomorrow night, our usual Tuesday night deal. And then Thursday night, I get to go see Vince Gill in concert. My daughter and son-in-law bought us tickets to see Vince Gill for Christmas. So I'm anxious to see him. The last time I saw him was about 15 years ago at the Bon Bron, and had seats up in the nosebleed section. I couldn't see what he looked like, and all I could hear was his voice. I was in the very last top row of the Civic Center.
Oh, no.
So we have wonderful seats this time. There are balcony seats and center stage, and I'm going to just be pleased as punch.
You're actually going to get to see what he looks like this time.
Yeah. So I'm all excited about that. And we're almost finished with the house, my mother-in-law's house that we've been redoing. So I just have to do countertops and sink on that yet, and just a little touch up on painting, and we're done.
Then you can start on mine.
No, I'm going to
Tucson.
I start to say Phoenix, but I am going to Phoenix too. But I'm going to out there on the 15th of March, so I will be doing the show from out there.
Our foreign correspondent.
Yes.
Hey, while you're in Phoenix, you get to listen to Al's show on KFNX.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
I got a picture of Tucson as my background on my work computer.
Oh, really?
I do, because I've been missing it so bad. Al got to talking about the desert up in Canada, and he sent me a picture, and I'll be damned if it didn't look just like Tucson.
Wow.
So I put a picture of Tucson, you know, and it was beautiful. I missed it, so it's my background now.
Talk about doppelgangers.
There you go.
Doppelganger deserts.
Uh-oh. Well, Molly.
Is it that time?
It is.
I'm hoping you're having fun.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's been a great night. I'm so glad. Glad I got home on time.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad I got my computer back. Things didn't go quite as well on my end as I had hoped, but I am here.
We'll be back next week, too.
Yeah.
So, everybody, you've been listening to The Buzz on ztalkradio.com. We'll be back again with you next week, and my friend is going to tell the story in the beginning of the show, how his wife had their child on the interstate. So stay tuned next Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Central. Good night, everybody.
Have a good week. Good night.
This has been a production of the Z Talk Radio Network.